Okay, so good morning, everyone. Today is the first monthly Ask Denise Griffiths teleseminar where you can ask any question at all about the virtual assistance industry. And listen, rest assured, no matter what your current level of experience is in this industry, there are no stupid questions, and we all need assistance every now and then. Look, I will use our Facebook group and go in there and go, somebody answer this for me, because I don't know either. I mean, it is such a technical industry, and we have so many balls in the air that sometimes you may think you know the answer, but you need to make sure you do. Don't feel like you're asking a silly question. Trust me, you're not. So please, feel free to ask away. If I don't immediately have the answer or if Adam doesn't, I promise one will be found for you. And every month, I will ask somebody from our Facebook group, your virtual assistant, to co-pilot with me. And this month, I'm delighted to have my friend Adam Homey join me. And as you probably already know, Adam is a website conversions and internet marketing technology expert, and he is really quite active in our group, and for that, I thank him. Adam, thank you for being with me here today. It is much appreciated.
Always a pleasure to help out, Denise. And one of the passions I have for being involved with your group and speaking with the folks in your tribe is I have a very strong interest in helping what I like to call the business creators. These are the people who help others succeed in the game of marketing. This includes your web designers, your graphic designers, your social media managers, and of course your virtual assistants. Those who help their clients get increased ROI for their efforts. I call those the business creators because the clients cannot live without them. So your audience is actually one of the core niches that I like to play in, and I get so energized and so inspired by seeing owners of virtual assistance companies and online business management companies really step up and take charge of their dreams. And when you mentioned this topic to me the other day, I recognize this is something that ironically oftentimes gets in the way of people's dreams. And I think we're going to talk about that during this call, along with some suggestions on a different way you can look at things.
Absolutely. And listen, I started mine, for those of you who don't know my whole story, and you probably don't, you just know me through the group. I started out as a web developer in 2000. Web development is my absolute passion. I dream in HTML. These days I actually dream. I caught myself dreaming the other night in short codes. This is a true story, y'all. I had this dream. You know how you have that dream in the morning when you're just waking up? And it's very vivid because you're really not asleep. You're right on the cusp of waking. So that dream is, that's the one you remember. And I had this dream where I was dreaming in straight running HTML. And I was very carefully, I built a frame, you know, I built a table, and then I was padding it. But I realized while I was building it, because I was working in HTML, not the view pane, and I said, you know, this is going to be really, really lopsided. Why am I doing this? Because I was very carefully padding an object on one side of the table. Turns out I was getting ready to fall out of bed. I was trying to protect myself with HTML. It's a true story. It's a very sad thing. But anyway, I started out as a web developer many moons ago. I have a computer science degree. I started seeing years ago, and I don't even know how long ago now, this term virtual assistant pop up, and I thought, what in the heck is that? And I went and looked at it, and it occurred to me that a lot of what could have been assumed to be virtual assistants at that time were things that I was already doing for my own business, and I was certainly doing them for my web development clients because, go ahead and hit *4 and mute yourself, and we'll bring in just a bit. Thank you. And I realized that I was doing all of these very similar things for my clients because my web clients have been with me from the beginning. So different iterations of their websites. You know, I was always talking to them about marketing when social media came along. I was talking to my web clients about marketing. So I was already a didn't recognize the term for it. I was, you know, thought I was a business consultant. So it was just kind of a natural progression for me. So in that instance, I was very poised to be a virtual assistant or now an online business manager. So it really kind of came naturally to me. However, I do understand that most people don't have that trajectory I had. So that's my story. Adam, what is your story?
My story is, if we rewind about 13 years, actually in 2003, which was 10 years ago, I completed my MBA from Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with a concentration in human resource management. I had this dream of being a training and development director for a Fortune 500 company. I was currently working in a training department in the managed care industry, and I loved the work, and I had a dream of being a training manager. I did the whole network, get job offers, I got some great offers, I turned them all down, and what ultimately happened, long story short, is I ended up starting a company that was designed to support a friend of mine who owned a training and development company in terms of helping him develop presentations and analyze survey data, in other words, helping him do some of the background information that led to the consulting projects he did for his major clients. And I created the entity as a way of managing the money and doing the legality stuff, but I ultimately realized pretty quickly that entrepreneurship is really where I wanted to be. So I developed this company for 2 years. There was sort of ox and horse cart thing going on there. Finally, I got to the point where I had enough money saved up and enough work scheduled for the next 6 months, and I made the jump. And this was September 2005. Not 2 weeks later, at the invitation of the same client I mentioned a moment ago, I attended James Malinchak's college speaking boot camp in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I met somebody in the hall who owned a web development company and ended up picking up my second client, somebody who did this type of stuff. It was kind of a fusion, I guess, of virtual assistants, web mastery, internet marketing support. They kind of did it all, which was really great. And I already knew some principles of web design. I mean, I tinkered with my own websites, and I'm a fast study when it comes to mastering internet marketing technology. So she took a chance on me. The chance worked out very well. And there's a saying that I like to use all the time when it comes to when you have like a web design company, you have people working for you, or you have a virtual assistants company, and you have people working for you. And it goes as follows. Within 6 months, they're either going to be so good that they're booking their own clients and they're going to leave you, or they're going to be so bad and unable to serve your clients, you're going to wish they'd leave you. I was the former. And so for 3 years after that, I owned a company that was called the websitesurgeon.com, and it was I have actual surgeon's garb. It came from a real hospital. It's still hanging in my closet, although I haven't worn it for years. And I would go to conferences dressed up as a doctor. This was a fun brand. I really enjoyed it. Ultimately, I decided where I really wanted to go was more into website conversion consulting and helping people simplify the process of getting their marketing online and spending less time editing their websites and more time maintaining it. And I didn't want to be dragged down with grand web development projects. You have a passion for web design. I have a passion for making websites sell. So, Denise, you and I fit together sort of like puzzle pieces, but I really didn't want to be involved in development anymore. So, unfortunately, I had to retire the surgeon because dressed up as the doctor, I could talk all day about A-B split tests and positioning of opt-in boxes and ninja tricks using lighting and images to attract eyes and increase conversions all day long. And they would say, yeah, I have website conversion people. How much to put on my squeeze page? And wrong market. So we changed to helpmywebsitesell.com, which is a constantly evolving brand. And I deliberately named it just a little bit vaguely, Help My Website Sell. I mean, what does that mean? Pretty much anything having to do with helping you increase your presence online and get more customers and clients through online marketing. And I kept it slightly deliberately vague because I like to think that there's a lot of pieces to that puzzle. Website conversions is one of them. So you build know, like, and trust. Simplifying your internet marketing technology so you spend less time editing and maintaining your websites and more time educating and marketing to your prospects. There's the element of how you write language and how you write copy. There's a copywriting aspect to it. There's also what I call the website conversion conversation, which is that whole process of getting your visitors and prospects pre-qualified, prepped, and pumped. So by the time they land on your website, it's almost a foregone conclusion you're going to do something. So this involves what you're doing on social media, what you're doing with your blog, what you're doing to raise your expert recognition and be seen as a thought leader in your market and niche. I know in my own business, we're literally just a couple days away from launching our Business Creators Radio Show, which is going to be a show somewhat similar to your partner in success, which is your show, which I've been honored to be a guest on a couple times, which I follow religiously. And we have a podcast on iTunes that just got approved last night, so you're catching me at a very interesting time here. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be exploring topics a little bit beyond just website conversions and internet marketing technology. We're going to be looking at SEO and SEM. We're going to be looking at branding. We're going to be looking at podcasts themselves. We're going to be looking at the use of infographics. We're going to look at offline strategies and how they bring your herd online to find you. So we're going to cover this from so many different angles. It's going to be an exciting ride. That's basically where I am right now. And when I saw the discussion emerging in your group the other day about building a leveraged virtual team in the virtual assistance industry, I'm thinking, this is a hot topic because I've been there and done that. In terms of the challenges I had with that, I'll save that till you start pumping me with some questions because then I can use the anecdotes there.
Okay. Well, and here's the thing, too. I think this is a very hot topic right now. A lot of people, I have two thoughts about this. Number one is that I'm getting a lot of emails from people that, you know, I'm on their list, and that seems to be the trending topic. It's like, okay, what's going on here? The other thing is, and this is two sides of the same coin almost. People
right.
being told, oh, you need to build a team. Oh, you need to build a team. No, you really don't. If it's not in your best, and I know I'm hearing guests like, what? You
know, I know. We've all been programmed. We've all had our hey. You must leverage.
Right. And we're going to go into that. But the other thing is, and this reminds me so deeply of what I would hear, and I still hear it to some degree when I first started out, I would get clients or potential clients perhaps would say, so-and-so, my business coach said I have to have a VA. Okay, do you know what a VA is? No, but I have to have one. Holy crap. But, you know, when you're working with people who honestly don't know what they need, you can either turn them away and send them to somebody else, or you can structure your content and your chats with them to really help them understand what it is that you do, what's in it for them, and why they need to work with you, not hire you. You never let anybody hire you. You just don't. You're not hired. You are a small business owner. But if you want to work with people, and look, some of my best clients have been straight-running newbies, and they have been with me for years because I was able to, in the initial conversation, break it down for them, say, okay, you're told that you need a VA. Now I'm going to tell you what it is that we do for you and why
right.
it will be good for you. And if it's not, and honestly, I will listen to their business model and look at everything, and I will turn people away because they just don't have enough going on.
Right.
And I will say, listen, go do this, do this, do this, and then come back and we'll revisit. But back to the team thing, and I got off a little bit there. I'm so sorry. Back
sorry.
To the team thing, you don't necessarily need to have a team at this moment. And I really, Adam, although sometimes you do, I have a team. I have an excellent team. I have about 32 people. And I have people who rotate in and out. I depend on them heavily. Now, there's a core few people that I really depend on. But here's the thing, Adam. There's nothing that I ask my team to do that I can't do. Nothing. Because I need to know how to direct them. I need to be able to train them how to work in the ways that I prefer the work is done.
Yes.
I don't just hand off and say, hey, here you go. Do your thing with it. Your thing may not be anywhere up to my standards.
Correct.
So my team is all trained to work to my standards. And I need to warn anybody who wants to work with me, my standards are very high.
Of course.
So, okay, Adam. You
all right. So,
to stay on that?
Right. So just to tell you a little bit about my story, when I told you a little bit about my background and where I came from and how I got to where I am today, I mentioned that for 3 years, we owned a web development company. When I owned it, I used to dress up as a doctor and go to conferences wearing a mask, and people thought I was both insane and brilliant at the same time. And I guess brilliance is a function of insanity. Well, listening to coaches who were well-intentioned and thinking about this whole thing about leverage and the freedom-based lifestyle and being able to grow so far beyond myself, I built a structure for the business where I would own the business, and then I would have two project managers who then would oversee what was originally conceived to be 10 VAs who knew how to do web stuff, but ultimately ended up being just two, which was fine. And the idea being that all the clients would have an assigned project manager, and that means all the clients would. I would not be anybody's project manager. I would see things from an overview perspective, and I would deal strategically with the clients who are ready to play at a larger level. So I would be the strategist, and the project managers would also inspire some of the strategy, but they would practically see the things got done. So I would be aware of what was happening in terms of developing and promoting the websites, but I wouldn't actually have to do it. This model was pretty much the bane of my existence for most of those 3 years. Here's what really happened.
Did you see me cringing there? I cringed.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, here very quickly are just a few of the challenges that I faced when it came to that. Challenge number one, and this is the thing that made it very difficult for me to grow this model, very challenging for me to grow this model. When we do business with people, particularly in our industries, we do business with people. We don't do business with entities. So when I attempted to have my project managers work with my clients, the clients would both actively and passively resist it. Active resistance would be something along the lines of, well, I hired you, and if you're not going to deal with me personally, I'll go somewhere else. And I had so many clients at the time, I said, good luck to you. Or they would say, well, if you're going to assign me to a flunky, where's my discount? And I would say, since when are we talking about flunkies here? This is somebody who knows as much as I do, and in some cases more than I do about certain things. You are dealing with somebody who I would trust with my own life here. They're certainly no flunky. They are here to serve you. You are working with my company. You're not working with an individual. I'm not a solopreneur. And that kind of work, but not really, truth be told. Now, forms of passive resistance would be deliberately removing the project manager from the CC line or the to line of emails and only including me in replies. Or if the project manager emailed the client would forward the email to me and attempt to have the conversation with me. And then I would forward it back, and then they would forward it back, and they would forward it back. And then finally, they would say, when are you going to answer my emails? And I would say, yeah, when are you going to answer the email? It just didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And so that was point number one. And where I think that comes from is, again, no like and trust, and people deal with people. Denise, what I like about your model is you do have a team, because the volume of websites and the volume of high-quality websites and social media pages and everything else your company does is just staggering. I mean, you would have to work 85 hours a day to accomplish that. So we know there's people behind you. But where you've positioned this a little bit differently is you are the only point of contact with the clients. So they do feel like they're working with Denise Grivitz, even though Denise's work on their WordPress site may be only that final polishing 10%. The fact is, it is coming through Denise, and it has the Denise seal of approval. That's challenge number one. Now, in terms of growing this type of business, is how do you get leverage, and how do you get out of these day-to-day conversations? Because that's part of what my coaches told me is, hire project managers, then you don't even have to know about it. Well, as you and I discussed a minute ago on this call, you have to know everything.
You are responsible for everything.
Yes. Yeah, and that's where I got into a trap, because a lot of my clients, the ones that really were just small clients and weren't really thinking strategically, they just wanted somebody to send out the e-zine, basically. I only interacted with them in invoice time, and I had to study time logs to figure out what I was supposed to be billing them for, is basically the level of my interaction with them. And that just was just outside my comfort zone, because I'm a person who believes in dealing with people, and I didn't like having people paying me that I didn't feel personally connected to. That was outside my comfort zone. I did not like that. So that was one reason I moved away from that model. Challenge number two is, when you are a virtual assistance company, or you have a web design company or a social media company, and it's a virtual business of any kind, chances are that everybody who's going to work for you is also going to be virtual. Chances are they're going to be contractors, which means they have their own businesses. They're not going to be your employee, and they're not going to be willing to be your quote-unquote employee or make you their only clients unless you can guarantee them a full-time income with benefits, basically. It's just not going to happen. Plus, they're not going to put all their eggs in your basket because they might as well just go get a job at that point. So what you run into is you have a team of people supporting your business who each of them have their own businesses. Now, when you have that situation, their clients will come first. They're not going to just put your clients ahead of their clients. They view you as one of their clients, which means you're in rotation with all the other clients. I mean, wherever you are in their priority pyramid, but the fact is they're not going to just dump their entire business to serve your clients who, aren't even their clients, where they're only getting a piece of the action versus all the action. So that's just not going to happen. The third challenge that we see with this model pretty frequently is something that we've touched on a couple times already, is you as the owner of the business need to know more than everything your team knows combined. You have to know more than everything your team knows combined. I'll say that again, because if you start to see that somebody's working on a project for one of your clients and they're struggling, you need to intervene very quickly, fix it, and get them moving on the right path before they stick you with a really big bill for their learning curve, even if they don't call it that. Mm-hmm. And then you end up going upside down on a client because what your contractor is charging you to do the work is more than the client is paying you. So you actually have to pay money just to keep the client. I got there once. I had one of the VAs on my team, not to speak ill will of anybody. What happened was she was trying to figure out something about WordPress widgets. And I did not know she was having this challenge, but meanwhile, we have a $1,000 project, and she hands me a $1,200 bill, and she wasn't even the only one working on it. And then she said, well, this is what I had to do to figure out the thing with widgets, and I'm not even billing you for the research I did. This is just the work I did trying to make it work. And I took one look at it, and I said, do you recognize that all you had – this was back in 2008 when WordPress themes by default did not have widgetization. Did you know that – all you had to do for this theme was add one line of code to the sidebar and then add three lines of code to the style sheet. Did you know that?
And she said, why didn't she just ask you?
That's my point. She didn't ask. She didn't ask. So I told her she was going to have to eat her invoice, and she said, no, I'm not going to eat my invoice. I did this because you told me to. I ultimately had to compromise with her where I agreed to pay half of it. And I still ended up losing money on a client, which was very bad situation. Because remember, $1,000 project, she was trying to bill me $1,200. She wasn't even the only one working on it. I had two other people to pay for their work on it. Plus, I had to get my piece of the action. So, I mean, I went way upside down on that project due to her. So you have to keep an eye on everything that is going on. You have to know where all the projects are. So if you have a leveraged team, which means you have 100 clients and you have 375 projects in the air, you have to find a way of knowing everything that's going on. You have to. Otherwise, you are going to get stuck with things like that because people will go in their own direction. It's just not going to work unless you know everything. A couple years ago, I knew somebody who got the idea that they were going to go into the virtual assistants industry. This person did not know how to log into One Shopping Cart. They did not know how to assign a blog post in WordPress to categories. They had to ask me where to go to post a blog. They did not know where to find Google Analytics. But they had this idea. They were going to hire a bunch of VAs to be their team, and then they were just going to market it and manage it. And I happen to know personally a couple of the people they approached with this idea of theirs. And one of the people who is a friend of mine, still is a friend of mine, came back to me, and she said, I don't know who this friend of yours is who thought that I was going to be her wage slave while she treats me like dirt and takes all the accolades. But tell her to never contact me about a business opportunity again. If she lived in my neighborhood, I'd kick her ass. So the point is that kind of ties into, I guess, a fourth issue, which is building a virtual team in the virtual assistants industry or any type of business creator type industry. You're going to be needing to persuade people who view themselves as first tier at what they do to become your second tier. And who likes to take the second tier? I mean, do you like to take the second tier?
I don't know. I've never had to do it. And I know that sounds kind of snotty, but I never have had to. So I can't answer that question with any truthfulness. But I will say, I've got people on my team who are top-notch in their own businesses, and they work so hard for me. You would be amazed. But here's the thing. I pay them well because, and I pay them sometimes my own retainer rate, sometimes not often, but they're only doing a small, small piece of it. And I know that they are so good and so fast that it's going to get done a lot quicker than I could have done it. It's a very small chunk out of my retainer or my project fee, and we'll talk about those probably on another call. But it behooves me to find people on my team that are so darn good at what they do that I can hand them a fairly complicated project, and they'll say, Denise, I think this will take me 3 hours. Done. Go for it. And I mean, it's done, and I'm happy, and the client is delirious, and I've moved on to the next thing. Those are the people that you want to find for your team. They're top-notch at what they do. They will treat your business as carefully as they treat their own business if they don't. And I did have this happen one time with one of my guys. He's been with me for years. But there was a period a few years ago where he would just kind of drop out of sight. And, you know, first I just said, hey, what's going on? Wouldn't hear. Finally I got him on the phone, and we had a come to Jesus talk.
Right.
We really did. And I said, look, you are one of my best people. I absolutely love your work. I think very highly of you as a person, but you can't disappear on me. If you plan on doing that again, we will part ways. He never did it again. Because he just said, I'm so sorry, I was swamped. You know, he had all the usual excuses. They're excuses. You never, this is rule number one with your clients. Whether they're your you're working for them as a contractor or they are your client, you do not fall out of contact with them. It's the worst thing you can do. So, you know, we had that little talk, and everything was fine. I'm not sure we didn't cry a little bit. It was a kind of talk. But I said, look, I don't want to lose you. I think so highly of your work, but you cannot do this to me. You know, it is unconscionable for you to put me in a position where my client says, Denise, where's the work? And I don't know. And then I have to find time to go do it myself. So we're not going to do that again, are we? He said, no, ma'am, we're not. And we never did.
I have a story just like this, actually. And this is, and again, this is another thing that you run into when you are building a team to support your virtual assistants business or your business creators type business, and you have to rely on other people. This is where you have to know what they are doing better than they do, because ultimately you are the one who holds the bag. You're the one that has to fill that bag and deliver it to the client, and you want to fill that bag with gold, not with something else. So, and if you have somebody who's working for you and something like this happens, I had a situation like this. I had somebody who worked on my team for almost 3 years. He's in the Philippines, a very, very bright guy. The challenge was that there were some cultural differences. When people say Philippines, they think, the United States used to own the Philippines. They're Americans like us. No, they're not. You're in a different country. You're in a different culture. And here is something I learned about their culture, which is in some places of the world, they call it the Manana culture. I think they have a different name for it in the Philippines, but it is there. Here's what happened. I had a project it was for a client that I really wasn't enjoying. I was very excited to get her done with. And all I needed him to do was finish the WordPress theme customization so that we could staple it onto the site that was already set up and send her on her merry way and say, thank you very much. Good luck. I think it was December when this was happening. So I'm already tapping my desk saying, okay, Christmas is coming, got to get this done, got to get this done, end of the year is coming, I don't want this carrying into the new year. And then he disappears for 10 days.
Oh, ow.
No communication, no nothing. And what I ultimately find out is that they have a tradition there, whatever ethnicity he was, had a tradition where what happened was his brother-in-law had a child who died in infancy. The child only lived 2 days. And whenever somebody loses a child, like a small child, they would go hold vigil with the parents. And since it was his brother-in-law, in other words, his sister's husband, they went and sat vigil with in honor of their newborn and unfortunately too soon departed nephew. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that. So he comes back after he gets back from the vigil. So he sat at his brother-in-law's house for, I think, 7 or 10 days. Then he comes back and he's like, okay, so when do you need this? And I said, 10 days ago. Where were you? And then he told me that. And I said, did you email me? Did you send me a message? Did you tell me that your nephew passed and that you would be out of commission for a few days? Because the whole world understands bereavement. And he said, no, sorry. I said,
see, that
well,
is pure lack of common sense.
I'm not the only one you need to say sorry to here. You've left me holding a pretty big bag, and I was stuck because not only did I have a promise that I made to a client based on your previous assurances go right out the window, I couldn't even get a hold of you, and I couldn't even get access to the files you had partially done. So in the future, if you have something where you need to be disconnected, then I need you to tell me. I mean, again, not to be mean or not to be self-absorbed or anything, but it's very sad that your nephew died, and I encourage you to follow your traditions and to pay the honor that deserves. I, on the other hand, don't think it was asking too much to shoot me a quick email and give me access to the files before you walked out the door. That would have taken you 2 minutes. So,
you're a kinder, gentler person than I am. There wouldn't have
right.
been a change.
Exactly. But I was being very.
All that being said, Adam, and this is just my business model, and maybe it's just because I am such a staunch American, I don't hire outside of my own country. I just
okay.
don't. And
I
it's a personal choice. And I pay more for it. You know, I pay VAs. A
right.
lot more than somebody with an outsourced team would. But again, it goes back to that know, like, and trust factor. I have
right.
to know your quality of work. You have to be trainable. You have to be able to say, yes, Denise, I can do that. Now, look, when I hand off a task, I give you a day's notice at a bare minimum, oftentimes more.
Right.
But what I do not want is, oh, well, you know, I can do it Monday or I can maybe do it Tuesday. No, ma'am. No, sir. You know, this is how we work. If I've given you 24 hours notice, it needs to be done. It just
right.
needs to be done. So I prefer to work with people, number one, that I can communicate with, number two, who are Americans, not Canadians too. I have Canadians on my team as well.
As do I.
But, you know, people who understand my language, even with a southern
right.
accent, you know, they need to understand me. But I know them. I like them. I trust them. They have high quality work. They can do it quickly, effortlessly, efficiently. I'm not paying them a ton of money for a simple project. They can jump in, get it done. They know that they've got money coming. They know that they did a job well done. And they know that they will continue to have tasks coming from me and my team because
right.
their work was so darn good. That's really how you build a team. You find people that you really can work with. You don't spend a lot of time running around trying to find the cheapest person. That's actually a false economy, and it, like you did, you know, that $1,000 loss. That will come back and bite you straight in the fanny. You need
right.
to find people who understand what the project is, and you need to make sure when you hand off to them that they actually understand that there's not going to be a lot of learning curve or they're going to have to stumble through it. I'm very precise in my instructions. When I write instructions to my team, which, by the way, I do at night. So that
right.
way, the next morning, it's in their email box. They can set their day accordingly. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, middle of the day go, hey, by the way, can you do this now? That's ridiculous.
Right.
I wouldn't want it done to me. But I'm very, very precise in my instructions. It cuts down on the
oh,
back
yeah.
and forth. It makes sure that everything gets done. And I'm told that I'm very easy to work with because of that. So
what
you
I
have
do,
to be logical and linear in these things.
Right. If you're going to build a team in the virtual assistants industry, what I would strongly recommend that you do is you buy a copy of the updated version of Camtasia and get proficient in it. Don't try and pinch pennies and do the $8 version or the free version or of some other related software that's going to sound crappy and only give you 3 minutes to talk or whatever. Just bite the bullet, get the, you know, spend the $300, get the real Camtasia, which makes it a cinch for you to film this stuff and then render it out and shoot it, and then shoot the video out to them. That way you can take as much time as you need and explain it to them on video. If you spend 10 minutes explaining to the graphic designer on your team what you're looking for in a graphic and showing some examples of things like it rather than just trying to copy paste a bunch of links and make them do their own homework, you will get two things. You'll get, number one, faster turnaround because they can do it faster because you've done a lot of their thinking for them. And number two, you've already shortcutted their thinking process. So you've already handed them the stuff you don't really need them to think about. That way they can put all their mental energy towards bringing forth their true brilliance, which is turning your concept into a bag of gold. I mean, that's another example. If you have somebody on your team who, if you have a virtual assistant business and you have somebody on your team who's like the resident webmaster and the client wants to make some changes to their menu structure, they want to change their banner, they want to do something with the fonts or whatever, take a few minutes and explain this on the video. That way they don't have to figure out, well, what do they mean by that? You show them, and then they can exude their true brilliance, which is making it happen.
And if you do this enough times, if you have those steps that you have to take over and over and over again, whether it's, you know, with a new person or it's just something that you do repetitively, record that. Make sure that you have a video library for your team.
Right.
Okay. This is where you go in. This is, you know, this is how you do this step. You know, this is what I need done on here. It's easier to train people if they have those documents, whether it's a document or a PDF, whether it's a video, whatever it is, you need to start creating your own training manuals, so to speak.
Right.
So you don't have that constant repetition, because bringing people onto your team, whether they're just coming in once in a while or whether they're like several of my people, like I said, I have a strong core team of about 5 or 6 people, and I work with them daily. I mean, daily. At this point, they know how I work, and they're very comfortable and confident in saying, Denise, how about this? What do you think of this idea? I encourage my team to not just take everything I say at face value. I want your feedback because, consult with me. You've got your own level of brilliance. I want to share in it. Talk with me. Tell me what you think. I mean, I had one project that completely got rebuilt during the course of a conversation, because my team member said, well, what about this? And then I was, oh, you're right, what about this? At the end of a 30-minute conversation, we completely rebuilt it, and it was brilliant.
Yes. Yes, that's very true. Like, if I were to have somebody on my team and I showed them, like, a 5-step process for doing something, and they come back and say, hey, wait a second. I did this work with one of my own clients, and we're able to do this in one step. Mm-hmm. Take a look at this. I'm thinking, and if it gets you the same results, the same quality, and the same reliability, and we can take some steps out and we can speed this up, hell yeah. Bring it.
Exactly right.
Bring it.
That's exactly right. So always, you know, when you're working with a team or you're building a team, ask for that feedback. It's so, so important. Because the people that are working with you are business owners in their own right, and they're business owners for a reason, because they have their own passion and their own sets of skills. Let them talk with you. Encourage them to talk with you. And here's another thing, and this is one of the reasons why my team is so core to what I do and why I have such loyalty in my team. Number one, I pay them well. Number two, when it's appropriate, they get a bonus. I had one guy, we worked our fannies off on this project. It was huge, and it had to be launched at 4 o'clock the following morning. I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning with my client. He was walking across the tarmac to go into, what TV show was it? Some huge TV show. I can't remember, but I know they sell more books than the Oprah Club did. Oh, the 400 Club or something like that. I can't remember now. It was a couple years ago. So, I mean, we worked through the night a couple of nights. And I never said anything to him. He was going to get his regular rate, which is substantial because he's very, very, very good. but I was doing a lot of the work. He was doing a lot of the work. So half the project fee went to him. You know, half of it went to me. I was happy with that. The client
right.
was delighted with it. And at the end of it, I took a portion of my share of that, and I bonused the heck out of him.
Right.
Because he earned it. He didn't see it coming. He was like, really? Yes, absolutely. I was so appreciative of everything that he did and his dedication to this project and staying up for two nights in a row with me. You bet I bonused him. And, I sent him a $500 bonus.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you do have to do that. I'll tell you one thing that I don't like to see, and for those of you on this call who are looking to leverage your virtual assistance business by getting other VAs to work for you, don't do this. Please don't do this. I was advised by a coach, and I ended up canceling from their program the very next day after I heard this. Their advice to entrepreneurs was to go to your virtual assistant and say, you know, I'm giving you like 30 hours a week here, and since I'm responsible for so much of your business, I would like to know that you're always answering my stuff first, and I want a discount because I feel that I'm actually basically supporting your lifestyle here.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's why I canceled that program. That's not how it works. I mean,
no.
The reality is we all have favorite clients. We all have clients we just love. We all have clients that no matter what happens, they're always going to be first just because they're the biggest, they're the best, they pay the best, they're the most fun to work with. There's just a synergy where you just click and, you know, everything you do with them, everything you touch with them turns to gold. So they're just going to naturally gravitate to first place. I will tell you one thing. Those are not the clients who demand I give them discounted rates. Those are the clients who knowingly pay a premium to know that they're going to get my first and my best.
That's right. Those are your
yeah.
angel clients, Adam. I identify them as my angel clients.
Yeah.
They are the people who love you. They will refer you. They will send you Christmas presents. They will
yep.
send you a gift certificate. I've got a gift certificate hanging on my wall right now on my board for Spa Finders. There's another one right below that for Ruth's Chris Steakhouse for $150.
Right.
I don't really eat a lot of meat, but I think they serve fish, so I'll go over there. But it's just so they just come out of the blue. I'll open my door and find a gift basket from Harry and David. I mean, your clients, if you treat them right and you deliver, and when I say deliver, that goes back to that team. Find the best people to populate your team and let them run with it. Make sure they understand what the project is, what the vision is. Make sure that you understand what the cost for to you to pay them to do this portion of the project is going to be. Make sure that you can afford this. Make sure that if there's something that if you have to do to make it affordable for you, you do it, but you hand off. I'm not good with graphics. I'm not. I hate doing
right.
graphics. You know, I have people on my team that are brilliant. I'll hand it to them in a heartbeat. They send it back to me, then I continue on with the project. Find people who compliment you, you know, not necessarily, it doesn't matter if they can do everything you do, but find people who do things better than you do.
I would like
and
to build on that
sure
point.
They're happy.
Yeah, I would like to build on that point because you just brought something up that I had totally forgotten about. We also get a lot of advice that, you know, we can get into businesses that we don't really understand and just find somebody to do it. For us, I'm going to use web design as an example. Now, because I used to own a web development firm, I got branded as a quote-unquote web designer. I have never designed a website. Let me say that again.
Mm-hmm.
I have never, ever designed a website, not even my own. I don't know
oh,
how.
We can't be friends. I'm sorry.
I know. I don't. I mean, I don't. I know what makes websites convert. I can look
right.
at. I can look at schematics from a designer, and I can show you how to fix them. But somebody else has to draw the initial template. I don't know how to draw a ruler with a straight line. That's just not me. But I always had great web designers who I could count on to enable us to be a web development firm. And now that we don't offer the web design anymore, I have trusted partners. I have Rock Paper Simple and Design for Mare, and I'm happy to send some your way as well, Denise,
mm-hmm.
as they come up. So I mean, I have great referral
that.
Partners where we're on okay. the same wavelength. We speak with each other, and if you engage us for what we do and you engage them for what they do, you're going to have an automatic built-in synergy. So it's like by hiring one, you kind of get them all. So we do have that in place. But the thing is, if I did not have two web designers who I was constantly giving work to, who I could count on at any given time to be there, and two others who I occasionally fed projects to just to keep them on the radar screen, who at a moment's notice could step in, I was going to get burned very quickly. One of the things that my company did at one point, there was a leading marketer who was offering a service. I'm not going to say anything about what the service was because I'll give away who it is. But they threw into their like $7,500 package, oh, and we'll build you a website too. They had three web designers on board. Designer number one just quit abruptly, no reason, just said, I quit, I'm not working with you anymore. The second one, there was a blow-up between them and the client, and they ended up just walking away. And then the third one just simply stopped responding. No response to emails, no response to phone calls, no nothing. They just disappeared. All this happened within 1 week. The client got stuck holding the bag on 10 websites.
Whoa.
Yeah. My firm,
I think I know who that was. In fact, I'm sure I know who that was.
Whisper it in my ear later, the point is they engaged my web development firm, again, this was before 2010, to fix three of them. Basically, we couldn't take on all 10 of them because they did not have that kind of money, truth be told, by the time all was said and done, so we took three of them. And what their previous designers had left behind was just a mess, so I had to have this very interesting conversation with them about is simple and done what you're looking for here, or are you looking for us to paint the Mona Lisa three times? I really can't be penalized for somebody else's screw up, so there's not a huge discount we can offer here other than a small bulk discount because we're taking on three of them. We kind of have to start from scratch here. And they ended up costing that person a lot of money. Another thing to prove that I'm not what you would call a web designer is I don't have Photoshop. I don't really understand how to edit photos, but I know people who can do it in about 3 seconds, and I have a ready supply of those.
If you ever run out
of graphic designers or web designers or people who understand how to manage WordPress, all they have to do is send a request to join your virtual assistant on Facebook, and there's about 1,000 of them, I think, just waiting for you.
Oh, yeah, we have a great team. I'm so proud of that team, I've got to say. And I know
some
of the members from that Facebook group are here today. That Facebook page is so vibrant. People are constant. They're so helpful. You know, they'll jump in and answer questions, and you know, there's so many resources. People have just positioned themselves as resources, and I just love that group. I'm just so proud of everybody. So
right.
All of you listening, thank you. Thank you for being there. But
right.
I have another quick question. I need to go off, and we are running out of time.
We'll get there.
One of the things, the big question that I get quite a bit is, should your team members work directly with your clients? And there's, you know, some different schools of thought on that. I say absolutely not.
Yep, I tried. It didn't work.
It didn't work,
so I'm with you on that.
And here's the thing. I have always kept my team. The truth is, I'm Denise Griffiths. I'm the face of my business. I am
right.
the rainmaker. I'm the person who brings all of that business in. I made the mistake years ago, and it wasn't a conscious thing, but we had this big project going on, and my graphics guy, you know, just to keep things simpler, I put my graphics guy in touch with my client. Huge mistake. Not because the graphics guy was trying to steal my client. He was not. But the client then got very confused. Well, who do I talk to? Is it Denise or is it this guy? Or, you know, what do I do? And my poor contractor, my team member who's still with me, got put on this email list. Every time something came to me, he was copied on. It was frustrating. And I finally told the client, listen, he works for me. Just please take him off your list. Everything goes through me. Quick lesson learned. But I'm a bit of a control freak. And in this business, in my industry, I think you need to be. You are the face of the business. Everything
Correct.
Stops with you. It begins with you. It stops with you. So your contractors are so, so important to you, but they, in my opinion, should never be in touch with your client, ever. And
I very much agree with that. I think the closest you can ever get to that is let's say that, I mean, because every so often things come up and it really helps if you hear from the horse's mouth and vice versa. In that case, you do like a conference call or something and you're there for it. So if there needs to be a back and forth, you are part of that conversation. You don't just count on them to run off and do their own thing. So you keep control of the conversation. You control the client and you control your person. You make sure the conversation stays focused, and you make sure that certain people don't start inserting their own stuff. Like, because I can tell you a couple things that jumped in my mind as soon as you told me that story that I don't think happened in your case, but I could see happening. The client goes directly to your designer and then tells them that they're supposed to do all these things that they are certainly not supposed to do, therefore, you know, trying to get more out of your agreement and cause confusion. Another thing could be, let's say, I had that happen to me once. I tried to put somebody directly in contact with a graphic designer once, and the client tried to tell the designer that we had agreed to do all this stuff for like $50. It was silly. I mean, I actually laughed when the designer came back to me and said, well, they said I'm supposed to be doing this. No, you're not. You're only supposed to be doing the first thing. And the other thing is, maybe you have a lot of know, like, and trust, and you have a synergy with your clients, but your client and your team member may be like oil and water. So if you get into that situation, because you are on the conference call and you're controlling the call, you can direct the conversation and keep it focused on the task at hand and get it done as quickly as possible so that the personality conflicts don't have to be addressed. So the designer can ask their questions and the client can ask their questions. They can answer each other. You can referee and you can get them all off the phone and off to their respective lives.
Right. Well, I just make it easier. I just don't do it.
I'm saying,
I just don't do it.
When you just have to get people together, because I can see where there's just no way around it.
I'm lucky that way.
Yeah, what I would say is do it as a conference call, and you can even do this on Skype, and just keep control of it. So you go on Skype, and you form the conference, and when you've decided that people have spoken together enough, you just end it. You say, sorry, got to go, click, and poof, it's gone.
Okay. I have a quick question, Adam. This one just kind of popped up in my email. It's a good question. I'm not sure if we have time to really, really go into it, but it's a great question. Here's the thing. She's asking, I need to build a team. I'm pretty sure I need to build a team, but how do I hire them? You don't hire people. You find people. Excuse me.
Right.
As we've been talking about, you find people to kind of fill the gaps in your skill set or in your knowledge sets, and you make sure that they're there, that they can do those quick projects. I think the underlying question here might be, do I need to put them on retainer? No, you don't. You really don't. I've only had one or two people in my years in business that were on retainer, and I no longer do that. For one thing, it almost makes them too comfortable, I find. You know, they get a little bit too placid, floppy. So I quit doing that. When I say team, let me kind of explain what my team is. I have a team of 32 people on my list. Not all of them work for me all of the time. I have that core work with, do work with me all of the time. Strictly subject basis. They know what they're doing. They know what their chores are, whatever it's going to be. And they're very, very willing to put my stuff at the top of their list because I pay them well. You know, I don't beat them up if it's done improperly. If it was done improperly, chances are it was my own fault for not explaining it. So, you know, I have a great, great core team. I pay them first of the month and the 15th of the month. It works out that way. Well, 15th and the end of the month. So, no, they're not on retainer. I don't do that any longer.
If you put somebody on retainer, the problem is then you are now responsible for coming up with the support business to support their retainer. Mm-hmm. What if you have a slow month? Or what if most of the business you bring in on a particular month just happens to be something that your other team member actually specializes in? Like, let's say you have a web designer on retainer, and it seems like all the business you book for that month is work, so you end up giving that to your social media person. Then you're stuck having to pay a retainer for nothing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So there are a lot of reasons not to do that. Okay, so if everybody – excuse me, I'm losing my voice. I don't know why.
We only have 2 minutes left. We can do this.
I know. I don't talk a whole lot. My voice tends to get shot about 45 minutes later. If everybody wants to unmute themselves and maybe ask a question, just hit, 4? and star and just kind of chime in and tell us how we're doing. Say goodbye. Just say hello. Say goodbye. Just let us hear you.
So, Denise, this is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
I have a question. So, if you are the only contact point between you and the client, and you have a contractor or a subcontractor working on a project, how do you keep that communication flowing and the work flowing without becoming the choke point in the communications back and forth?
Can you give me a for instance?
Yeah, I had a contractor that was a website person that was helping me with a client's website, and I would send her, I'd communicate with the client, and then I'd send her an email with the information and then have to wait for her to pick it up and then for her to come back to me if she had questions, and I had to go back to the client. And so I just felt like I was getting in the middle of it, and I became, part of the slowdown.
Was the client just communicating not very slowly with you?
The client was communicating slowly, but then also the contractor communicating slowly.
Okay. You don't have any control. Well, you have minimal control over the client. What I do in cases like that is to say, listen, when we set forth our agreement to build this out, we had a 30-day build. We're perilously close to that 30-day build. We need to crank this up. What can I do to help you to get this done? Then you talk to your contractor and say, okay, now, not acceptable. What's the problem? Is there something going on in your personal life that you're not communicating? I need communication. And you may want to pick up the phone and have that conversation. Phone calls are scarier than email.
Sure.
And sometimes you just need to scare them.
Right.
What do you
say?
You get to
a point, and again, this may apply to this situation, it may apply to other people in general. And if somebody it'll get to the point where if I feel that an email is getting nowhere, I will just come right out and say, look, there are no more emails on this topic. I'm very interested in what you have to say. Give me a call and say it. And they either will or they won't at that point. If they won't, that unfortunately is a reflection on them. That's just the way it is. Sometimes you have to also learn to accept that people will be broken in ways that don't have anything to do with you, but it may be more of a problem than your business needs at this time, so you may need to refocus with them or set them aside or let them go and find what they need to do, which is why when you build a team, you also cannot rely on one person. So if you engage one web designer to help your clients, you better engage two.
Right.
Right.
Now, when this contractor, is it an issue that she just is not responding? Or do you think maybe she doesn't know how to do it? And people will not respond because, honest to God, they're lost. They're stuck. And they're so embarrassed to say, I don't know how to do this. So have you maybe gotten on the phone or gone to say, listen, is there some place where I can help you get unstuck? Is there anything that you don't understand? It may well be a communication problem with you. Chances are, however, that she doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah, I think that in this particular case, that was not the case. I think she knows what she's doing, but she's a stay-at-home mom with grade school children. And so she's trying to work around her mothering duties. And
well, there's nights for that. I mean, has she set aside evenings for that?
She has set aside evenings and then during the day when they're in school. But it was fairly early on in my working relationship with her. And so a part of it was me not knowing the parameters that she was working within. She doesn't answer the phone when the kids are home, and I can understand that because sometimes I watch my one-year-old granddaughter, and there's no meaningful conversation when she's here. So,
So
I have office assistants, and they're cats, and every once in a while the vicar, he will wait, and he does this with one specific person, and that person happens to be my business. He will start yelling his head off. It sounds like I'm gutting him. I don't know why he does that. And it's always with my business coach, and I'm always going, I am so sorry. How do you shut a cat up? You can't. So I totally get that. My next question is, how are you paying her on this? Was it a project? Was it an agreed upon project fee? Are you paying her by the hour? Because that's going to help you make a decision.
Right. I've done it both ways with her, where there was a project fee and where it was by the hour. And it seems to work better if I give her a project fee.
Right.
Because, and you know, with those, as you know, when you are starting and stopping a project, you know, repeatedly, it just takes longer than if you can work on it.
You have to ramp back up. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
When is your project due?
Well, the project was already completed.
Oh, wow.
But,
so it was just
I'm sorry, say again?
It was just kind of a long, drawn-out experience for you?
It was a long, drawn-out experience, and that's been my concern with working with her, is that she's brilliant at what she does, but it just tends to take 2 to 3 times longer than what I anticipate or what it should. And so I'm looking for other contractors, but that kind of leads into my follow-up question, which is, how do you find the right VAs to bring on your team? Because my challenge is finding VAs who are qualified but will do it at a price point that makes sense, so that I'm still making money on it and it's still affordable for the client.
Right. That's an excellent question, and that kind of goes back to what we were talking about, where you sometimes have to pay them part of your retainer fee. Like, I make $95 an hour. I've only got one guy on my team that I will pay $95 an hour to. But what might take me 5 or 6 hours will take him 2. Guess what I'm going to do? He's going to get that $95. So you have to really sit down and look at the money. Then you have to look at the time. You need to lay out the whole project. What can you do on your own that is not taking away from your other business? What can somebody who is really, really good at what they do jump in? And even though you can do it on your own, or possibly not, but, you know, where can they jump in and just save you so much time and money? Because here's the thing. If you are spending so much time on a single project, guess what you're not working on? Other pricing projects. So sometimes you just have to find people that, you know, if they want $35, $45, $65, $75 an hour, pay them. If they can demonstrate that they can jump in, get that work done, and 2 hours later, you are moving forward, just pay them. It's well worth it. Trying to find the cheapest possible person is the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, I'm not trying to find the cheapest, but because I, like you, I only hire onshore and only North America, you know.
Yeah, we pay more. We absolutely pay more for that.
Yeah, I pay more, but I do it for all the reasons you mentioned, but also because if we keep sending those jobs offshore, then pretty soon our clients don't have any money to pay us. So
that's exactly right. And like Adam said, I mean, I tried early on working with somebody on Elance, and I wanted to hunt him down, shoot him. I mean, the guy really ticked me off. It was just such a huge language barrier. So it really probably wasn't him. I'm sure he has, you know, there's a language barrier, and they're, you know, they live life differently than we do. So it's just easier for me and more patriotic, I think, to hire in my own country. But the thing is, the best thing you can do, I think, is just put out, you know, go to the Facebook group and just start interviewing people. There are a lot of people in there that are very talented in WordPress. So, you know, just start chatting with people. I've got people I can send to you. You know, we can have a conversation later on the phone, but, I mean, I've got people I can recommend to you.
That'd be great because, you know, my business, I only focus on websites, blogs, social media, and email marketing. But, you know, if I'm doing everything, I don't have time then to keep marketing, and I'd really like to evolve my business so that I'm doing the marketing and the project management, I'm the client contact point, and I'm doing very little, if any, of the actual hands-on work.
Adam, you know, what do you say about that?
In terms of delegating and doing very little of the hands-on work, I think that's great as long as you, for all the reasons we discussed on this call, know more about it than anybody else.
There you go. You have to, to understand your project from start to finish. You have to have a grasp on every single moving part of it. You can't, and I use mind mapping for this. I map out everything. That way I know who's doing what. I'm looking at my whiteboard that's sitting up above my desk, which is kind of a secondary mind map. You know, I've got arrows. Diana's going to do this. Natalie's going to do this. You know, they're all projects, and I've got a big share in all of my projects, but I know when to hand off and who to hand off to. And that way I know that, yeah, I'm going to be paying out some of my money to them, but I'm also able to take on more and more projects and more clients.
Right.
So having a good, solid team to me is the way I can stay afloat.
Right. Yeah, I can see that because I'd like to have a team I can rely on. Mm-hmm. You know, and not that I wouldn't do any of the work, but I'd like to be in a position where I don't have to do any of the work.
Well, that takes time, and you have to be very, very clear on what it is that you want. You have to find a team. Let's call them your farm team. And you have to find them. You have to groom them. You have to make sure that they know, like, and trust you. You know, like, and trust them, that you give them all of the tools that they need to be very successful working for you. Like Adam said, you create those manuals, those videos. You make sure that they know you do most of the thinking for them. So when you hand off, there's not a bunch of back and forth, well, Denise, what did you mean about this? I don't quite understand this. Or worse, they just disappear and then you have to go hunt them down only to find out that they didn't understand a word you said. So, you know, really give some serious thought. Here's what I would advise you do. Follow yourself around on a daily basis. Find out what it is that you're doing that is repetitive and what it is that you're doing that you really don't enjoy a whole lot. Find people to fill those slots. And then you go out and you start bringing on more clients and you start bringing on more team members. It's an organic growth. It's really. But don't jump and hire people until you know darn good and well why you're hiring them and what role they're going to play in your company.
Mm-hmm.
The huge mistake to just hire people and go, oh, crud. Well, that didn't work out well. You just lost money, you lost time, and now you're aggravated.
Right.
And you may have to apologize to your client. None of those are good.
Yeah, I actually lost a client one time because of the contractor and the problems that arose. So, yeah.
Right. Well, like, you know, Adam said at the top of the show, you've got to stand on top of it. You are the rainmaker. You are the face of the business. You've got to know everything that's going on. You have to, here's what I find. To be in this business, you have to have a pretty logical, linear thought process. Yeah, I'm left-brained as all get out, so it works for me. If you're not really left-brained, open that door, peek in there, and go, ooh, it's nice and shiny and clean. I think I'll move some of my stuff in there. Go into your left brain because that's where I find that most people succeed.
Right.
Particularly in this business because you have to be so on top of everything.
Yeah, I'm pretty balanced. I'm analytical and creative.
Mm-hmm, me too. That's why I build websites.
The challenge for me comes in, you know, it's difficult to be both of those things at the same time.
Oh, okay.
So,
well,
you know,
it's learned behavior. It is. You can kind of catch yourself in the moment.
How do you manage when you're managing a team and you're managing multiple clients and multiple projects? How do you stay on top of all of that? What method do you use?
I use Google Calendar. You know, my calendar, you ought to see it. There's no white on it anywhere. I have things that I'm doing. Basis of those are set up as recurring events. I don't know. I use Google Calendar. It's really deep track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remind
right.
me to check in with this contractor. Remind me to check in on this project. Did you send a quote, you know, to this particular potential client? Oh, my God, did you do your billing? You know, that kind of thing. So I find Google Calendar is very simple. It's easy to use, and those reminders are popping up all the time.
Right.
Adam, do you have any suggestions?
I just kind of agree with everything you said on this point.
Okay. I'm just chattering away, and we are out of time. I can't believe how much time we are taking, but this, I'm so glad that you guys are chiming in. Was that helpful, that answer?
Yeah, that was. I actually use ACT. I've used ACT since DOS days, you know, for all the reasons that you mentioned.
I remember so. DOS.
Yeah.
I shouldn't admit that. I was one of, I'm such a nerd, y'all, and I'm a girly nerd, but listen, when the first computers came out and there was no internet, I had to have one, and I bought a $3,000 boat anchor, and it had all the DOS manuals, and it was good for nothing, but I had to have it, by golly.
Well, you were only 10 years old then, right?
Yes, I'm very young. I'm about 15 and a half.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, don't I sound young? Very young. Anyway, are there any other questions? Is there anything that we said that made sense or didn't make sense? Is there anything we can help you with before we go?
I think you've answered a lot of my questions. Thank you.
Well, I hope it was helpful. And, you know, here's the thing, and I have to repeat this again. Understand why you're trying to build a team. Like, I resisted it for the longest kind of time, and for all the reasons that you're probably talking about. How do I hand over my business? How do I trust them? Do I have time to train them? You know, do they really know everything they say they know? That will drive you crazy, and it just about drove me crazy. And finally, I just said, I need help. My back hurt all the time. I was crankier than usual, which is going some. I mean, I was working all the time. Look, I will be the first one to tell you, I should be one of those people that stands up in front of the crowd, bows their head, and says, my name is Denise Griffiths, and I'm a workaholic. I am. I am a straight-running workaholic, but I'm a high-functioning workaholic. And it took me a long time to figure out that to function at the level I do, I needed help, and I needed high-quality help. So go to your business, look at your business, follow yourself around, find out where you really, really need the help. Find out where you can give up some of those retainers to pay for help, because what is going to take you 5 hours can take somebody else an hour. Identify those holes. Identify the holes that stop you from saying, oh, my God, I can do this all on my own. I can do it all, and I'll keep all the money. You're killing yourself. You're killing yourself. You'll never grow past what you're doing now if you don't bring on high-quality contractors.
I agree. I resemble that remark.
Yes, that was the end of my sermon. Thank you for listening. Seriously, I resisted it for the longest kind of time. Don't make the mistake that I did. Find people. You know, our group, our Facebook group, has so many high qualified people. Talk to them.
Yeah, I will, because that's part of the big impetus for me to join the group is. Mm-hmm. To find a pool of people that were qualified.
Right. And there's a lot of, now there's some that don't seem to kind of chime in, and I wish they would. And we've got close to 1,000 members, and, you know, I'm finding only maybe 40 or 50 people are really active, but those people are such resources.
Mm-hmm.
Get on board with them, talk with them, pick their brains, and, you know, see what's going on. Yeah, we are out of time. Does anybody? We were out of time a half hour ago, mm-hmm. practically. Are there any more questions before we wind this up? I guess not. Okay, Adam, do you have any last thoughts?
My last thoughts are quite simply, if you want to leverage your virtual assistant business by having other people support you, just remember that you have to know more than anybody else in your business. You are ultimately responsible for everything that your business does, so make sure you have your redundancy and your backup plan, and make sure you're aware of everything that goes on at all times, because at a moment's notice, you could have to step in. And then the other point I want to make is make sure that if you're leveraging something that is not really your passion, to just not do it. Only offer things in your business that are your passion, because if it's like the example I told you of my client who made that offer to his list and said, oh, we'll build your website too. Well, he didn't know how to build websites and he had no passion around it. So he, for lack of a better phrase, got royally screwed. Ended up losing a lot of money on what was supposed to be a big money maker for his business. So unless you personally have a passion for it, don't listen to anybody who says, oh, well, you have to offer this because you have to do this for your customers. If you're doing this for them, you have to do that too. No, you don't.
I can't begin to tell you how much I agree. I mean, you mentioned that you were part of these programs and people would tell you to do this and do that. I have to tell you, I have never been a part of any program or listened to anybody else. I just do my own thing.
Right. But my business, and in the end, that's advice. In the end, yeah, in the end, masterminds, coaching programs are advice. You need to look at what they teach you because most of what they teach you is actually very good, but you need to decide, is this good for my business or where I need to go? What is the real lesson I'm learning here? And sometimes an effective coach shows you how to succeed by doing the exact opposite. So, I mean, because there are some people out there in this world where if I ever need to know if my compass is pointed in the right direction, I just look at what they're doing and go in the opposite direction. I know I'm all right.
Been there, done that. Adam, where can people find you on the internet?
My website is www.helpmywebsitesell.com. I have some free offerings for anybody. If you want to get the complete library of my weekly Tuesday technology tips, where I deal with things like WordPress plugins, how to simplify your internet marketing, plus our treasure trove of calls on things like branding, getting publicity, copywriting, multi-purposing your content, and other types of things that you can be helping your clients with as business creators, simply go to businesscreatorsinstitute.com and sign up. It's absolutely free.
Oh, that is great. Well, thank you so much. Does anybody else want to chime in and share their website with us?
This is Karen. The website is www.yourgotogals.com, and the two is the number two.
Great.
I like that.
Yeah, me too. It's easy SEO, good SEO. It's easy to read, easy to remember. It's a good name. Anybody else before we hang up? We have a shy group here. Well, listen, thank you, everybody, so much for being here today. The call will be made available later today. It'll take a bit to render, and I look forward to seeing you all next month. In the meantime, if there was something that we maybe missed or you would like clarification on, just shoot us a note in the Facebook group. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I have enjoyed spending time with you today. I'll see you next month. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Denise. You guys have a great day. Thanks for being with us.